have a special message this morning. How do I know that? I was reading a book for a Bible study that I'm a part of, and in the midst of that reading, God gave me this sermon. So I put the book aside, prepared the sermon, went back to the book later. So that's how I know that the Holy Spirit is always working, that something was coming forth directly from God to me, and now I'm passing it on to you. And it's this question. Are you a 3%er? I don't know. You're going to find out, right? God uses the scriptures this morning to do some math for us, but also to teach us great, great lessons. Because I don't know about you, I always want to be different than the crowd. I like to be someone that God is using in a special, magnificent, awesome way that's only particular to me, but also is a blessing to others. And so hopefully that's part of what this is all about, for all of us to choose to serve God in whatever capacity God chooses to use us and to make sure that we're doing exactly what God wants us to do at all times, correct? That's how we spiritually grow, right? Right, yes, thank you. Okay, all right, good, all right. Okay, beautiful. So we're going to go to the book of Judges this morning. And I'm going to go to chapter 7, which the story and what the teaching is all about. But if you read chapter 6, you'll see how really this story begins. And it's a story about Gideon. You may have heard of him before. Gideon at the time and the Israelites at the time were being oppressed by the Midianites. In fact, they had to hide out every time that they were growing any crops or doing anything with their land. The Midianites would come and just steal it all away. And so the Israelites were suffering badly. They didn't have any food. They didn't have any shelter. They were in fear of their lives very often because of the massive Midianite army that would often come and rampage and steal all of their goods. And so in chapter 6, God goes to Gideon, who's actually in a wine press, and he is trying to get some food together, but he's hiding out in a cave because he's afraid of the Midianites. And in that process, the angel of the Lord shows up and says to Gideon, "Mighty warrior." Gideon looks around like who he's talking about. I'm the only person in here. You got the right person? And so the angel of the Lord begins to tell Gideon that he is going to defeat the Midianite army and save Israel. What a big undertaking, right? Imagine being called by God to do something so massively awesome, to save other people from their desperation, from the evil ones, from somebody that's stealing from them, robbing, killing, whatever the case might be. Somebody that's going through difficult problems, right? That the enemy's coming against them all the time, it seems, being overwhelmed by an attack after attack after attack. None of us ever feel like that on any given days, right? No, not on any of us. But needless to say, God chooses Gideon and calls him through this angel, Mighty Warrior. And Gideon replies, "Who, me?" And he says to this angel, he says, "If the Lord's with us, why is all this bad stuff happening?" And the angel just ignores that and says, "God has chosen you to save the Israelite people." And then Gideon goes on to say, "But listen, I'm the least person possible that you could use. I'm the least likely to succeed at this. I'm the weakest of my family, and I have the tiniest, smallest clan amongst all the other Israelites. I'm a big, fat nobody." And that's how he spoke to this angel. And then in one of the verses, it says, he says, "How can I? I'm the least. I'm the least." Anybody here not been chosen for the team sometimes or chosen last? Some of them, right? We've all been there, have we not, right? Been rejected by others as too small, too this, too that, not enough this, not enough that. We all can relate to that, right? We can relate to it, but that's not who we are in God. That might be our perspective of who we also see ourselves, because he says, "How can I possibly save these people?" And here's what God says. He says the same thing to Gideon that he says to you, that he said to Moses, Joshua, Abraham, and every other person on the planet always. Any of us that are ever called by God to do anything for God, especially it's massively big and totally impossible for us in our own strength and in our insufficiencies to accomplish it. Here's what God says. "I will be with you." Enough said, right? How can you accomplish those great big things in your life that you want to change, how you want to grow, the accomplishments in the ministries and the work or whatever it might be in your own personal life and the life of this church? How do we accomplish great and mighty things as the mighty warriors of God? God is with us. That's how it gets accomplished. If you could remember that, every single time you tackle a problem, every single time an obstacle comes your way, even all those times when the enemy tries to attack and attack and attack your mind especially, if you could just say to that devil, the Lord is with me, you better get out of here because you don't know what's going to happen to you. God takes care of you, buddy. That's how I talk to Satan. Anyway, God will be with you. God will be with you. So what does Gideon do? He says, wow, awesome, let's get at it. Well, if you keep reading in 6, right, he said, you know, he has these fleece and all this. How do I know it's you? Blah, 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 blah. Right? He still holds on to his insecurities, his low self-esteem. And God keeps giving him answers, right? That's a cool part about God. But then God also tells him to go take the Asherah pole down away from Baal. So if you're going to start, you're going to start with a small battle, Gideon. And so Gideon says, well, I'll go at night. As long as I can go at night and not get caught, I'll go. God goes, okay. So what does Gideon do? He goes and he knocks down the pagan Asherah pole, right? Ta-da! He's now a mighty warrior in the dark. So this really ticks off the Midianites, right? All those people that worship Baal and didn't believe in our God, right? And hated the Israelites, right? So, see, what did God do by doing that to Gideon? He really set him up for, like, you're really going to war now, buddy. Sometimes we have to knock things down in our life to begin. That's a starting point, right? All of us begin somewhere where we get brave enough in the dark to go out and tackle a problem, right? Our first little growth spurt, right? When we decide to go ahead and take something out of our life that doesn't belong. The very first, and it might be something small for you. That's what God also begins, right? Very often, right? But needless to say, Gideon is like, wow, I did that. Yay. So then he throws out more fleeces. You're sure you're going to, you know, at the end it's chicks. Are you sure you're going to use me to rescue? You know, I'm scared of the dark. Chapter 7 is where we begin the rest of the story. Because this is where God puts all the pieces of the puzzle together to show you and me how God operates in all of our lives. Chapter 7. So Baal, that is Gideon, which means who contended with Baal. So in other words, he took on Baal, right? So anytime you stand firm and you stand for God and you take a stand against evil and you decide you're going to change or you're going to decide you're going to have a beautiful, awesome purpose for our God, your name gets changed because you're going to contend with some enemies, are you not? Some of which are in our own mind, some of which are outside of us, right? So Gideon's name was Jerubbaal, the man who contended with Baal, took on evil, right? And his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. What? Too many? I don't have enough. So I did a little research. There were 135,000 Midianites. Slightly more than, you know, we have to take on sometimes, right? How many of Gideon's army was there? The small clan? 32,000. A fair fight. 135,000 against 32,000. Easy peasy for us to win, right? In the reality of things, how many of you would want to go into battle with Gideon at this point? Can somebody else go? But God says you have too many. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they have saved themselves. See, it's not by our own strength that we're able to do this. Not our ego, not I'm so great, right? It's God in us that causes us to be the great people we are, right? Therefore, he says, they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave and go home. So if you're timid or afraid, You can go home. You don't have to fight. Now, Gideon probably was like, I want out of here. Can I go? No, you're the leader, Gideon. Sorry. 22,000 of them went home. 22,000. 69% of the group left. Wow. Well, we're down from 32,000. Now we're down to 10,000. And we're going to defeat the 135,000 Midianites. Who wants to join the army? All right. Leaving 10,000 who were willing to fight. Willing. Do you notice that willing is more important than able? Willing is greater than fear, is it not? The fearful people left, the bulk of them, almost 70% that left, roughly 31%, right? Where 31% of the people stayed, right? How many willing people do we have here? Don't raise your hands because I don't want to know. Because I want to see all the hands go up. And if I don't see your hand go up, we're going to have a problem. Oh, no. Okay. Oh, dear. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Huh? We had 32,000. I lost 22,000 that were afraid. Now we got 10,000. But still too many to who? To God, right? How many is too many to God? No many. God isn't afraid of numbers, right? God doesn't care about the numbers because God is more powerful than any army, correct? Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
Will that now make you willing?
Yes.
It helps to know that God will help you defeat any enemy, doesn't it? Doesn't it help you to know that truth? No matter what you're fighting, no matter what you're battling, no matter what's trying to battle you, you and God is an army of two. And that's more than enough than the thousands and thousands of things that are coming against you, me, or anyone, right? Amen. Yes. Bring them down to the spring, and I will sort out who will go with you and who will not. God's doing some more sorting. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord said to him, divide the men into two groups. One group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it with their tongues like dogs. And the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So we already lost 22,000 out of fear. They left. Aren't you kind of glad about that, though? Do you want fearful people around you? Do you want negative people around you telling you how things are going to never work? No, that's not going to help us accomplish anything, right? Don't you want somebody who says, we can do it. God will help us. We'll make it. We have the victory. Surely the victory is ours through God, right? Don't you want those kind of people around? Yes. So I studied about this cup in the hand and licking it, you know, going down on their knees. And I thought, well, going down on your knees might be a good thing. You could be praying down there. But here's what I studied. Here's what I found out in my study. That's what I was thinking. But needless to say, what I found is this. These army people would have a shield and a sword to go fight the Midianites. Now, when those that kneel down, what do they have to do with the shield and the sword? Put it down. And they're bending down like this. Are you not at more risk when you're bent down like this and look and down in the water and not looking and being alert in case the army comes from behind? We have to be on alert all the time and be looking forward. And here's the thing. Keep your shield of faith on. Keep the sword of the word of God in your hand at all times. Don't you want people around you who are prayer warriors, who follow Ephesians 6 and have the sword of faith, shield of faith ready and the sword of the word of God ready for you? Don't you want to go to battle with me? Yeah, I bet you do. I can even shout them out of there. But needless to say, right, you see now why God chose those people? people that were thinking about getting water more than they were thinking about fighting a battle, right? Taking care of themselves. I'm thirsty, I got a drink, right? They get down on their knees and they're not paying attention to the enemy around them or to God, looking up to God in prayer in that respect, right? So God sends those people home. So now we've gone from 32,000 to 300. We're going to win against 135,000 Midianites. Just 300 of us. Here's what I discovered. It's not how many people you have on your life journey. It's what kind of people they are. The character that they have. The spirit of God that they have. The willingness that they have. The alertness that they have. The fact that they pray constantly. Read the word of God. Know the word of God. And apply the word of God. Don't you want to fight against the enemy who is really Satan with the word of God? Know those scriptures and smack him in the face with it every single time and knock him down off his so-called, you know, statue that he wants to put himself on, the pedestal that he thinks he belongs on, right? Huh? You want to win a battle? Know the word of God. Keep your shield of faith. Faith can do everything and anything. And what's your faith and trust in? God Almighty. Almighty God. Yes. We might not have a bit of faith in ourselves. On some days, I'm probably the most inadequate person you could probably know. I have insecurities. You have insecurities. Do we all? Yes. We're sometimes an insecure flock, are we not? In ourselves. How are we going to do this? How's this going to happen? How can we accomplish that? What do I have to do here? We get all caught up in our heads, right? That's called anxiety. When we're worried about the problem and not putting our mind and our heart thoughts on what? God. And the fact that God calls us all mighty warriors with a W-A-R-R-I-O-R, not a W-O-R-R-I-E-R, however you say it. Because the warriors got sent home, didn't they? People that didn't pay attention to God were sent home, didn't they? Right? We had 300 committed, godly people that were putting not their faith and their trust in their shield or their sword, but in the very word of God and the promises of God, because God said, I will be with you, and they believed it. So they took on this army. Moving along. Now the Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. During the night, the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. I got to go out again at night. Oh. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura. If you're afraid, Mr. Great Warrior, Mr. Leader, take your servant Pura. And that's not said in a Yankee way. It's actually spelled that way, P-U-R-A-H. But I also want to take someone who's purer than me, right? Or pure, and never mind. All right, but if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So what happens with this great, mighty leader, Gideon, that's chosen by God? He takes with him his servant. What is this servant? This servant is an armor bearer. This is the person who carries the shield and the sword and goes along as a loyal servant, someone to watch over and to help protect Gideon. Now think of it this way. They're a prayer warrior. While that person, Gideon's going to go into battle, Pura is not going to be there. But he's going to be doing what? Praying, right? Praying. And his name actually means branch or coverage. He's someone that covers and helps protect. We know the great branch, Jesus Christ, also, right? Covers and protects us from everything, right? We all need loyal people in our lives. His name also says that he bears fruit and encourages. So do we not, those of us that are going into battle, whoever we may be at any given moment, right? When we're going to go see and hear something to help us realize we're going to win the battle, because that's what God's doing. He's going to give Gideon encouragement by hearing the fact that the Midians are actually afraid of Gideon. How about that? Because they're afraid of his God, right? But he takes with him a person who encourages him on the way. Come on, Gideon, we can do this. God's got this. We're going to be fine. Let's go hear with the Midian. I know they're more afraid of us than you're afraid of them, right? all of us, in all of our lives, we need people to pray for us, people to encourage us. There's enough naysayers, negative people out there, are there not? We know that there were at least 22,000 of them that were really fearful, that could have upended everything. Because fear kind of grows, does it not? You notice how there was so many fearful people? 22,000, the bulk of the people were afraid. People without faith. And I'm not saying it's not okay to be fearful. All I'm saying is you got to start to pray when you're in fear. You got to go to someone else who has greater faith than you do and ask them to pray with you and for you. Because we all need other people to be yoked to. That's why we're supposed to be yoked with other believers, so that people that believe in our God can pray with us and for us, right? So sometimes you're a pura, aren't you? Say yes. Okay, very nice. And you're willing to help those people around you, right? Yes. And sometimes we're the fearful ones, right? We all tell the truth. We think to ourselves, how's God going to use me? Well, whatever it might be. We all have fears. That's human nature. But we also know what? God is with us all. God is not exclusive to certain people only having God travel with him. So here's what his friend says. There actually was a dream that takes place at the Midianite Sea. God put that dream there. Verse 14, it says, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over all the armies united with Midian. So this man has a dream, and he interprets the dream, and this is what Gideon and Purah overhear. Here's the thing. In heaven, all the time, in all of our lives, God is working out problems for us. God is working out plans for us. God has our certainty in place. God has victories already planned out. He's the great strategizer. You know, he's somebody who's the coach on the sidelines, but more than that, he's also the one that's actually calling all the plays and making all the things happen. He chose the right teammates and all those kinds of things, right? And God has a plan for what? Every single time. Good. And victory. Victory over anything and anything or anything in our lives. Everything. Now do you feel like a mighty warrior? Mm-hmm. Okay, rah. Okay, so. Thank you, Facebook, for cheering. I appreciate it. The Israelites were outnumbered 450 to 1. You like those odds? 450 to 1. Sometimes your problems feel like 1,000 to 1, right? And they seem to multiply, right? Those too many things happen in our life, right? We get into the too many's, right? It's too much for me, God, right? Do we not say that? And it's good that you do, because then that's turning over your problems to God and say, it's too much for me. But nothing is ever too much for you, God, ever. Jeremiah will tell you that in the scriptures. Is anything too hard for you, Lord? Not a thing. Does it matter how many problems I have? Does it matter how big my problems are? Does it matter how small I feel? Does it matter how inadequate I may seem or be? What matters? Our faith and trust in God. God gives us the victory. Willing is greater than able. One plus God is more than enough. When you feel as though you're overwhelmed and things are too much for you, go to God. And if you can't go to God in the sense that you can't hear from God or whatever, go find a pura. Go find a person with greater faith and trust than you have. There's plenty of those inside of our church, are there not? Yes. You're here to walk alongside other people and give them faith and trust. And please, disassociate from the fear mongers. Stop listening to the voices of doubt and fear, even your own self-doubts. Those voices are nothing but lies. The truth is, we are all made in God's image with God's power within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have victory over every single thing that ever comes against us, including whatever it is inside of your life, inside of you, that needs taken out. How do we accomplish that? Through God, and only through God. But also, put the shield of faith up. Let the fiery darts hit that shield, the lies of the enemy. Boing, 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 boing. And if you don't have a big enough shield, get a bigger one. Or get somebody else's shield and let them stand beside you. You know, get a line of people that have those shields up. That's what those 300 people were to take on 135,000. And then, you know, if you read the rest of the story, it's a great story. You know how they win the battle? God says to Gideon, okay, now get some clay jars and put a light in it and get a trumpet. Make some noise. So they get these clay jars, and they're coming down the hill into the valley because the valley's below them, right? And the Midianites look up, and they see all this light coming at them. Oh, my God, they're going to get us. They start to freak out, those Midianites. And guess what they start to do? Kill off each other. Because evil will kill off itself. Circular firing squad. When people are enemies of others, they're also enemies of each other. So be careful of those people. But the light comes, right? And then, so here's what happens. What they're supposed to do is one thing, and it says, when I give you the word, you're going to drop the clay jars, and you're going to say, for God and for Gideon. They're going to shout. Ooh, would I be good at that or what? Oh, let me shout, Lord. Shout to the Lord, right? A light coming. They break the jars. Bam! 300 people throwing down jars of clay. And they shout. They shout in the name, and we call on it today, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the very name, when you proclaim that name and you say that name wherever you are, and you say, in the name of Jesus, be gone, guess what happens? Their enemies flee, and they just attack each other. And you run, victoriously away from that. Gideon started out timid and afraid. Felt like he was less than. Felt disqualified or unqualified, right? He was doubtful of himself, and he proclaimed the fact that he was weak. But as God says in Corinthians, when I am weak, he is strong. So it's okay to be weak. It's not okay to stay weak. And we're not really weak. We're weak in our humanness yet. But who are we strongest in? God. God is powerful, and he empowers us all the time. And I don't know how he's going to solve all of our world problems, but I know he will. It may only take a small church like this that we sometimes say we're so few. And the problems of people, the harvest is so great. But what does God take with the small 12 disciples, right? Inadequate, uneducated, not the greatest kind of qualified people to start his church, right? And look at it today. We're a byproduct of that. See, God chooses the people he chooses for a very good reason. The weaker you are, the greater you can become. And God gets the glory, remember? We can do nothing in our own strength, can we? All we have to do, though, is show up and be willing. And we say to God, use me. Use me to fight the battles if you so choose. Use me to help encourage people if you so choose. Use me to pour my faith and trust in God onto other people if you so choose. And no matter what enemy comes against me, you, or us, or any other church for that matter, specifically this church, Satan better watch out. Because we have an army of so few with a faith that's so great. And we have our God who is with us every step of the way. How do you think we lasted 28 years? Only through the grace and the power of Almighty God and our faith and trust and belief in his power. So if you're somebody that tends to be afraid, I'm going to pray that God takes that fear away from you. If you're somebody who looks at things half empty and how things won't work and they're too hard, I'm going to pray that you remind yourself that of this message this morning, that God is with you to empower you. And if you need to go into battle, remember your shield of faith. And if your faith is weak, find ways and count your blessings or listen to other testimonies of all the miracles God has done to build up that faith. Or if nothing else, call on a pure and say, can I borrow your faith for today? I need it. And we're going to say, here, have mine. I got more to spare. So, mighty warriors, Do you know today that whatever your problems are, and many of us have many, to God, there's so few. Let's always take on God's perspective. Because God is still wanting to build an army of people that have faith and trust and study his word and know his word and are willing to fight for the benefit of others. Willing to give of themselves and sacrifice their very self for the benefit of others, just like Jesus did. Is that our army that's here today? So shout at your problems and say, my God will defeat you. You better run. God is with me. God is with you. And we will always be victorious as a result. You believe that this morning? When the next problem comes your way, you're going to go get some reinforcements? No, you're going to go to God first. God, help me defeat this enemy. And let me see how you do it, God. Whatever it is, I know you'll give us the victory. Amen?